This call is now being recorded.
Good morning.
Hey, well, that worked out rather nicely.
It did. I'm encouraged.
Well, so Mueller came out with his report.
Which Trump says exonerates him completely, and the news all says, no, it doesn't. Explicitly does not exonerate him.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. They're doing something weird on the intercom.
Of course they are. So what did you? Yes. What did you think of the report?
Okay, I've got the phone covered up somewhat, but if you can still hear me, then that's good, and it should protect it from whatever they're doing on the intercom.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, and it's in relation to that August 17th, 2010 telephone conversation with the FBI, and so that's the context at which I'm going to refer to that conversation. So in that conversation, I say, what else could explain this corruption that identified itself to us and that we've been calling their attention to for some time now? What else explains that? And I had mentioned, are they being pressured by foreign influences? And gave some of the really ugly things that could be done to pressure them, including, as you had mentioned, as you had recognized recently, taking their loved ones and using them to put pressure on them. And I had explained some sort of a graphic scenario. Well, anyways, so. Where I had said, what else explains it? What I was talking about, well, here's the corruption. And if it's not by their own volition and their own will, what else explains it? Are they being pressured? And so his report comes back, a very extensive 2-year report, and it stands to reason that he would have had to at least minimally reviewed what I've been calling their attention to.
Right.
Time and time again. And, what he's saying is, well, it's not foreign influence, so it's domestic. It's not a foreign enemy that's doing it. You know, what else could it be? Well, it's not foreign, and it's not what else could it be. It is domestic enemy.
Wow.
It is. It's not someone else doing it. It's they're doing it.
Okay.
So that's one thing. And another one, you'll like this. I've been reading this book, or I just started reading it last night. I've had it for a little bit. A fellow inmate provided it to me. I think he might be a fellow Floridian. And it's called Soul Sword. And
wow.
Right in the beginning, it says, well, you know, there's, you know, people who, in the tradition of the samurai, who view that the sword, you know, they bow to the sword before and after, they have a complete acceptance of death at any moment in life, and that they take that the sword contains the soul. Well, the author took a reverse view of that, was saying that the soul has a sword. And in it, he talks about really, it's not only does a warrior, the sign of a warrior, isn't just about preparing for a fight, but it's preparing not to fight. And that's another thing that I had talked about in that conversation, is where I had said, I have a right not to use violence. I have a right not to have to bear arms.
Exactly.
And so that's the point that I'm calling their attention to the chief probation office and to the U.S. courts, is to review that, and it's my right to use that to expose this without violence.
Right. I've been referring to peace as our birthright. It's our birthright as American citizens. If you analyze the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and what God had in mind in establishing this country, and why he loves it so much, it's for that reason.
Well, I was going through my notes, and I read a case law that said a Supreme Court case law. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
The guarantee of peace is in there.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that guaranteeing of peace and swords and the Lord, there's another thing that I found in my notes, and I'm pretty sure I've shared it with you before. It was when I was in Yazoo City and I was reading the Ambidextrous Universe.
Yes.
And it was a statement by Richard P. Feynman. And remember you had those audio tapes and I was listening to those?
Yes.
Well, so he's been a pretty significant part. And there's also another significant part, and I'm sure you'll pick this up too in connection with material, because that was part of your educational material for college.
Right.
And
this call is from a federal prison.
Educational material that you've shared to me. And so in a telephone conversation, in Feynman's theory, there is only one particle, the electron. Feynman got this basic idea from a telephone conversation with his physics professor, John A. Wheeler. Feynman said, Wheeler, I know why all electrons have the same charge and the same mass, because they are all the same electron. Wheeler imagined one electron weaving back and forth in space-time, tracing out a single world line. The world line would form an incredible knot, like a monstrous ball of tangled twine with billions of crossings, the string filling the entire cosmos in one blinding, timeless instant.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure you know what I'm hinting at.
Go ahead and explain it, because I'm going to share this.
The big ball of string, one of my favorite
novels. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was just thinking about that book last night. You know, this is incredible because not last week, but the week before in the weekly Bible study that Richard and Frida McMaster lead at their home in Beacon Woods, Chris and I were there, and there was only one other couple there. And I knew them well. It's a couple that have been at a lot of family gatherings because the wife is really close with Kathy Taylor, Katie's mom. And so I really opened up about a lot of things, including about your situation and about your imminent release. And so when we had prayer, Frida in particular prayed for you, and so did Richard, and said how much they're looking forward to meeting you and getting to know you. Well, yesterday, Richard just recently was ordained as an elder, just a few weeks ago, as an elder in the LifeSpring Church. And yesterday he preached. And you know what he preached on? He preached on Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he brought in a prop, and it was a sword that he had bought and that he uses in his personal prayer time when he's confronting spiritual darkness. He'll take out the sword. It's a two-edged sword. And he had it with him and brought it out, showed it, passed it around. He said, I don't want anybody to cut themselves. It's really sharp. And so Frieda brought it around and was showing it to everyone while Richard preached. So it was all about the sword, and the sword of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And so you starting this conversation talking about that book, Soul Sword, and the samurai is just so relevant. And
but
it's
wait,
so...
there's more.
Oh, go ahead.
and so in relation with the sword and my insight on that with Scripture was where, so Adam and Eve were deprived the fruit of life. And the Lord guarded Eden with a sword that turned every which way. And so it was my connection with Scripture and this one particle electron theory that turns every which way. And that was part of its premise, was that it would move not everywhere in one time, but also throughout all time in the future and in the past.
Right.
And so that would be a representation, an actual physical example of a sword which turned every which way. And also with Philip's sermon on help me out with the title there, Possessing the Gate.
Right.
Where Jesus, for the 3 days, where he went, and what he was doing in those 3 days was traveling all throughout time and all future and all past and saving everyone. You know, he was doing that and he was doing that, and it could physically be
right.
Contemplated, conceived as this electron, this energy going in the future and in the past and going every which way all across the universe and
that's
doing
so,
being able to do that.
Yeah,
so here's a physical proof or a potential physical explanation of how the Lord could have physically done that. I mean, to satisfy our at least scientific inquiry.
Oh, absolutely. And when you first talked about the electron and the way it worked, I immediately thought of another scripture that Richard shared yesterday in his sermon. It was the one, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the essence of his character, is to be a savior, to be the only savior. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And yes, absolutely, whatever needed or needs or ever will have needed to happen for God's will to be fulfilled has happened and always
yes.
will have happened. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's no respecter of persons. It's all
and
there.
He may have done that at different times in people's lives that are living in the same moment. You know what I mean? The
right.
same span of decades. So where he might have gone and intervened where he needed to in people's lives. In certain people's lives at a certain time where others were there as well, but he hadn't yet touched them. His intervention with them was for a later date.
Oh.
And he would have been able, so it's not how we perceive it, where he would come and we would all witness it at the same time.
This call is from a federal prison.
Right.
So he transcends time.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
It's all at the same time, but it's all at different perceptions of our time in that time.
Can you call me again?
I can. And, well, one of the most important things I wanted to tell you was that's what I've done. I have prepared not to fight. And that's the important thing that everyone needs to draw from this.
Yes.
I have been blessed with the creation of that intention.
Yes. I'm crying. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
And it's developing. And it's unfolding.
Yes, it is. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, when do you want me to call you back? Soon?
Yes. I have something to tell you.